It is a great honor to speak at Falls Berean Bible Church 20th anniversary service. 20th. Mapai Bi in Khmer, Yisip Bi in Thai. We were not here for the 5th or the 10th anniversary, but we were here for the 15th anniversary, and I was reminded by Facebook, you know how they give you those little memories, and saw a picture of my children singing here 5 years ago. So we were here for the 15th and the 20th. When growing up, I had the opportunity, even though I never lived in Northeast Ohio, my family, my mom, my sister, and I, we would come up here to visit our family. My mom's side of the family, almost everybody in my mom's side of the family lives either in Akron, Stowe, East Cleveland area. And most of my mom's side of the family is Catholic. Some of them are devout. Some of them are more nominal. And so when we were in town for the Lord's Day, it was always challenging. We would visit different churches in the area, and we were looking for a like-minded assembly that we could visit with and worship with in the future. We never found one that we felt comfortable with. And I remember, even as a young man in the late 80s, early 90s, I remember praying several times to the Lord that to raise up a Bible-believing conservative church in the area. Fast forward many years to the year 2000. Heidi and I were just recently married, and we moved up to the Detroit area. And that is when we became friends with Dave and Mary Beth Saxton. And we were struggling to find a church to settle in there in Detroit, and Dave came to us after our first year of being there in the area, and he just mentioned to us in passing that he was finishing up seminary and that he was going to plant a church in the Akron, Ohio area. And immediately that was perked up my ears, and I was very interested in that. And he asked us if we would be willing to come down to Akron every weekend. And at that point, we had no children, and things were a little easier. It was just my wife and I. And so we started coming down our last year of seminary. We traveled down on Saturdays most of the time. Sometimes on Friday night, we would be here Saturday and then Sunday. We would help out with door-to-door evangelism. And as I look out this morning, I actually see a number of you that are the result of that door-to-door evangelism time. What a blessing it is to see you here 20 years later. We assisted the Saxtons on Sunday at the YMCA. How many of you remember the YMCA? How many of you were here during the YMCA days? Okay. We would help pastor. I did the Sunday school. I taught through the Foundations book. And I'll never forget seeing Mr. and Mrs. Westfall there in the service in the Sunday school smiling at me. Believe it or not, I actually led the singing for the morning worship services. That was before we realized Domingo's spiritual gift. I was very relieved to pass that along to him. We were there for the very first service at the YMCA. It was September 9th, and little did we know that 2 days later, our country would experience 9/11. I am thankful to the Lord for answering that prayer of mine when I was in high school, in college, answering a prayer for a Bible-believing and practicing church in the Akron area. The Lord truly has blessed and answered many prayers over the years, hasn't he? These are demonstrations of God's grace, and that is our theme today. Though I would like to focus our thoughts this morning on a few key passages from the book of Acts, I want to start by reading a few verses from Isaiah 64. Can you please turn in your Bible to Isaiah 64? Isaiah 64. We will just read the first four verses. The context here is obviously Israel and different time period, but definitely can be applicable to our situation as well. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things which we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. For from days of old, they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you, who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. In the first book of C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the beaver famously says to the four children who had just entered Narnia, he says this, "They say Aslan is on the move, perhaps has already landed." As you may know, Aslan is the Christ figure in the Chronicles of Narnia. One of our focuses, among many, in our corporate prayers, is to plead with God to come down and move and work in our church. Isn't that our desire? For God to come down and to be moving in our midst, in our church, in our community, in our state of Ohio, as we pray for our sister churches, and among the nations where we have ambassadors. Germany, Kenya, Uganda, Cambodia, Thailand. Isn't that our desire? Today I would like to preach a message entitled, "Come Down, O Lord, Reflecting Back and Moving Forward with Local Church Prayers." Let's ask God's blessing on our time this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are the God of grace and glory. As the front of our hymnal says, hymns of grace and glory. You are full of grace, as we just sang and as we just read in the book of Ephesians. We thank you for your grace upon this assembly. Thank you for raising up this beacon of light in this community 20 years ago this week. Oh God, I pray that you would help us this morning as we reflect back, as we move forward. I pray that you would come down, O Lord, and move within us and among us and change us. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. This morning I'd like for us to think about three things regarding local church prayers. First of all, its importance in the early church, which is going to be the foundation. Secondly, its role in our first 20 years, reflecting back. And then thirdly, its necessity in our next 20 years, if the Lord tarries. And that is moving forward. First of all, its importance in the early church. This is the foundation. The reason why local church prayers are so important, one of the reasons, is because it was so important for the early church. In the first 13 chapters of the book of Acts, which describes the birth and the early years of the church, the author, Luke, under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, describes five times that the church gathered for prayer. One of those is very general, and the other four are specific occasions. And what I'd like for us to do is to eyeball all five of these this morning really quickly. Let's remind ourselves of these five times. Now, we do know that before the actual church began, right after the ascension of Jesus, it does say in Acts chapter 1 that they gathered together in the upper room. So that was another instance before the church actually began in Acts chapter 2. So I'd like for you to turn in your Bible. We're going to look at all five of these passages. These five passages teach us the importance of local church prayers in the early church. First of all, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is not one specific occasion, but this is a general principle. The early church considered local church prayer to be one of the four pillars that they continually devoted themselves to. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. So many believe that is the beginning of the New Testament church. Verse 42. So what were they doing? They were continually devoting themselves to four things: to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Local church prayer is one of the four essential non-negotiable elements of local church ministry. When we go to Cambodia or Thailand, these are the things that must be transported. Nothing else. This is it. All the other things are secondary. This is primary. Apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. If we move on to chapter 4, we're going to see four special occasions, four specific occasions that the local church gathered to pray. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31, we see that the early church gathered to pray for boldness in the midst of governmental persecution. Verse 23. And the context here is that Peter and John had just done a healing, and they were put into prison. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they had heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord, so they're praying, and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, this is local church prayer, and when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's move on to chapter 6. So we have chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 6. Specific occasion number 2. The early church gathered to pray when appointing leaders for their assembly. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Now at this time, while the apostles were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Verse 6, "And these were brought before the apostles, and after praying," there's our key phrase, "and after praying, they laid their hands on them." So the early church gathered to pray when appointing leaders for their assembly. Now let's move up to chapter 12, specific occasion number 3. The early church gathered to pray for deliverance and safety for their members. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. "Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also." Now it was the days of unleavened bread. "When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison. But," here's our key phrase, "but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God." And the last specific occasion number 4, is in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In this passage, we see the early church gathered to pray for those being sent out from their assembly for gospel advancement. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. "Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Maan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting," fasting includes prayer, "the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then," and here's our key phrase, "when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." I think it is abundantly clear from the example of the early church in these 5 instances, 1 general, 4 specific, it is very clear that local church prayer was a priority for the early church. That is a foundation for us. So secondly, I would like to look at the role that local church prayer has played in our assembly over the first 20 years. I'd like for us to spend a few minutes reflecting back. How have we been incorporating local church prayer into the life and making it important in our assembly. We have both stated times and we have a stated tool. This is easy to remember. Stated times and stated tool. Historically, in our assembly, there have been five stated times for local church prayer. Now, we're not doing all five of these all 20 years, but these are five things that have been incorporated into the life of our assembly that are stated times for local church prayer. Number one is the weekly prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. That's definitely been going for many, many years. And these are not in any particular order, by the way. Number two, the monthly men's prayer breakfasts. This is something that's been off and on over the last 20 years. Number three, the weekly men's prayer time. There has been a time, different times throughout those 20 years, that we have had a time for men to gather for prayer. Number four, the weekly pastoral prayer. Maybe you don't think about that as a stated time for prayer, but it's a time for us to gather together to hear our pastor or hear another church leader pray. And we are to be praying with him. That's local church prayer. And the fifth is the annual prayer week. I don't know how many years we've been doing that, but it's been at least 4 or 5 years, maybe longer than that. So those are all stated times that we have gathered together for local church prayer. We have a stated tool for our local church prayers. What is that tool? The bi-monthly prayer guide that was just finished up and passed out last week, right? That is our stated tool that we have been using. And we've been sending out emails, and those are other ways that we communicate about the needs in the church. So by God's grace, and that is the theme of our anniversary celebration today, our assembly has sought to make local church prayers a priority through both the stated times and the stated tool. Have we been negligent? I would say no. Have we been perfect? I would say we have not been perfect. Could we do more? Yes, we could do more. We could always do more. By God's grace, we have done these things over the last 20 years. So thirdly, this morning, I want to talk about local church prayer, its necessity. Its necessity in our next 20 years. Moving forward, how can we make progress? How can we go further? Not that we haven't done well yet, but we want to do even more. How can we move forward in this area of local church prayer? Do we desire to see God's grace manifested in our assembly over the next 20 years, 2021 to 2041? If so, we must develop a culture of prayer in our assembly. So if FBBC, Falls Berean Bible Church, had a vibrant, robust culture of prayer, what would be happening? What kind of things would be happening? I wrote out five things here to go through quickly. Number one, if we had a vibrant culture of prayer, we would be making the stated times for local church prayer a priority in our lives, above our work, school, and recreation. Obviously, there's things that happen in our lives that are unforeseen. But where is our focus? Where is our priority? We would be making the stated times. And obviously, you can't come to every single thing, but making those things a priority in our lives above these other things. Number two, we would be making the stated tool for local church prayer something we use regularly in our lives. Personally, in our family, if you have a family, children, and with other members, gathering together with them outside of official church things, just to gather together with another believer and say, let's just pray through the prayer guide or pray through two or three pages of the prayer guide together. Number three, if FBBC had a vibrant culture of prayer, we would be including in our local church prayers the various types of prayers that are mentioned specifically from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, where it talks about supplications and entreaties and prayers and intercessions be made for all men. Two directions. Think about the cross. There's two pieces of wood. There's a vertical and there's a horizontal piece, right? First of all, vertically towards God, these would be areas such as adoration, praise, thanksgiving, confession, submission. These are all aspects of our relationship with God, vertically with God. Those would all be part of our prayers. Secondly, horizontal towards man. That's praying particularly, specifically intercession. Intercession for physical needs, intercession for spiritual needs, intercession for our government, and gospel advancement. The prayer guide, the tool, tends to focus more on the horizontal towards man, the intercessory, and then we have the vertical. That's just, we can go right to the scriptures, and that will help us with our vertical prayers as well. Number four, we would have strong affection to know and learn how to pray biblically. Pray biblical prayers. Pastor Joel has actually asked me to take two Wednesday nights over the fall, one time in September and one time in November, to teach about this particular point in more detail. How can we learn how to pray biblically? When we're praying, are we praying Scripture? We'll talk about that more on Wednesday nights. Number five, we would have strong affection to read books on prayer. Downstairs, there's all kinds of really good resources. If you want to know some good books on prayer, ask Pastor Joel. He just gave me one just the other day. It's great, great. I've already started it. There are a number of excellent resources. We're living in a time period where there's lots of good resources. Read the prayers of dead people. Okay, I said that last time. Read the prayers of the people that have gone before us. These should help us in our personal prayers, and I think that will have an impact on our corporate prayers as well. So, in closing this morning, we have seen the importance of local church prayers in the early church, which is the foundation for local church prayers. We have rejoiced in the role that local church prayers have had in our first 20 years through our stated times of gathering and our stated tool, the prayer guide. And we have also discussed five ways that will help us to move forward and see the necessity of local church prayers in the next 20 years, if the Lord tarries. So in our local church prayers, brothers and sisters in Christ, we desire for our church, we want God to come down. We want to see God moving and working in our midst. Just like those Israelites in Isaiah 64 were calling on God to come down. There's actually a recent song written by Andy Gleiser. I'd like to close by reading this song to you. The title of the song is Come Down, O Lord. Verse 1 says, Come down, O Lord, and split the skies. Come make the mountains quake. You are the fire that kindles us, that makes the godless shake. Verse 2, From ancient days no one has heard nor seen a God like you, a God who acts on our behalf, a God who's on the move. Verse 3, We are like one who is unclean. Self-righteous deeds pollute. We fade away just like a leaf, adrift and destitute. Verse 4, We have continued long in sin. Will you reach down to save? You are the potter of our lives. Come now, reshape your clay. Verse 5, Remember not our former sins. Hold back what we are due. We are the people of your name. Return us back to you. And the chorus, Come down, O Lord, and rend our hearts. Come down, O Lord, revive. We rouse ourselves. Take hold of you. Come down and show us Christ. Let's close in prayer. Oh God, we pray this morning that you would come down, that you would move, that you would be on the move in our midst. I pray that we would take these verses from the book of Acts and the importance of local church prayers and reflect back on your grace and what you have done in our lives over the last 20 years. And I pray that this would encourage us, each one of us, to commit ourselves anew to local church prayers. We long, O God, to see you work in our midst, in our community, and overseas. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
I want to ask you to turn in your hymns of prayer to the last. It's on page 33 or number 14 in the book. It's called Teach Us to Pray.